So I can speak about anything, right? Okay. So I don't know if I've spoken about this before, but I was working on the Prapanajivanamrita, and one of the points that I find very interesting in the Prapanajivanamrita, which is based on Sharanagati, is that the prayers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are principally coming from his Sikshastika, which is, of course, his main prayers composed by Mahaprabhu, they are considered to, in the arrangement of the Prapanajivanamrita, they're under the category of words from the devotees. And yet, we know that Mahaprabhu, we say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahyanya, that actually Mahaprabhu is internally Krishna, but he's covered with the Bhava Kanti, or the mood and the luster of Srimati Radharani. Her mood, and principally that will be expressed through Vipralamba, through the mood of separation. That's a principal mood expressed by Mahaprabhu. And also, of course, Radharani's golden color, her luster. So although we know that he's Krishna himself with this mood and luster of Srimati Radharani, still in the arrangement of the Prapanajivanamrita, which is based on, you know, which is, we can say, an explanation of Sharanagati. Sharanagati, or surrender, is the main theme of Prapanajivanamrita. And of course, Srila Sridhar Maharaj has written the Laghu Chandrika commentary on Sharanagati. And the expressions of Mahaprabhu in particular are included in words of the devotees, and in his different sikshastika prayers are in different categories, such as the main categories being humility, offering everything favorable to Krishna, rejecting everything unfavorable, feeling oneself to be always protected by the Lord, entering into the Lord's family, which is one explanation of Gopdritve Varanam. Sometimes it's translated as accepting the Lord's guardianship. But we've heard Gopdritve Varanam referring to entering into the family of the Lord, and then Atma Nivedana or Atma Nikshepa, which means utilizing everything in the service of the Lord, which will be words, intelligence, actions like that, mind, actions, intelligence, whatever. But, you know, Mahaprabhu's declarations are those of a devotee. And that's one of the points that Srila Sridhar Maharaj is saying in Prapanajivanamrita. He's saying that first Guru Maharaj offers the Prapanajivanamrita. You know, there's always the Mangalacharan, and there's offering to the deity to which the book is offered. And there Guru Maharaj offers this book to Gaura Saraswati, you know, that. And we also can see the relationship between Gaura Saraswati and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You know, but we can say the deity like Gaura Saraswati, Mahaprabhu's message, or Mahaprabhu's kirtan, we can say. You know, the book is being offered in that way. But Mahaprabhu, Guru Maharaj explains or makes a point that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's showing the ideal example, behavior, activities, attitude of the acharya. And there are certain groups of upasampradaya or wrongly presented sampradayas, which will try to equate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one for one with Krishna. Like they'll try to equate, those are like the Gauranga Nagaris. They'll try to, as Krishna was, was engaged in activities enjoying with the residents of Vrindavan, dancing, in the Rasa Leela, etc. But Mahaprabhu's activities are different. We see in Chaitanya Charitamrita that one time Mahaprabhu was speaking to an astrologer, and Mahaprabhu says to the astrologer, "Can you tell me who I was in my past life?" And that astrologer, he's a person who can see the past, present, and future. And he says to Mahaprabhu, "Well, I can see in your past life, I'm seeing this blinding effulgence, and I'm seeing, the emanation of the Brahma Jyoti in all directions coming from you, and you are the original Lord Himself." And then Mahaprabhu says, "I believe that your vision is a little wrong, because I know that in my previous life, I was a cowherd boy, and because of my pious activities, now I've been born into a Brahmin family." That's how Mahaprabhu says it to him. But even there in that, the humor of Mahaprabhu, you can see that there's distinction between the cowherd boy and born into a Brahmin family. And the point made is that Mahaprabhu's activities, his behavior, everything, is the perfect example of the Acharya. And I remember one time, Govinda Maharaj, there's a point I found, Govinda Maharaj, a little, you can say, his humor, where he's saying, "I would like to present myself as the way anybody would feel that I could say that I'm a fallen soul." He said, "I could say my own feeling that I'm a fallen soul." But he says, "But I can't say that, because Guru Maharaj, he gave me the position of the Acharya. And if I say I'm a fallen soul, it would be a slur upon Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He appointed me as Acharya, and if I'm the Acharya, how can I say that I'm the fallen soul? Guru Maharaj gave me the position as the leader of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Math. So I cannot say I'm a fallen soul." But he says, anybody who understands true Vaishnav sentiment, and in particular Gaudiya Vaishnav sentiment, they will say that, I am a fallen person. Like he said, even Mahaprabhu says, "I have no love for Krishna. If I had any love for," he says, "I have no love for Krishna." And then people could say, "Well, what are all those tears that you're always shedding incessantly when chanting the holy name?" And Mahaprabhu said, that's just some show to cheat or beguile innocent people. And he said, "But rather, I am maintaining my fly-like existence, just doing activities like bathing, etc., out of habit." And he said, "If I had any real love for Krishna, I would have died long time ago." So that's Mahaprabhu's expression, and Govinda Maharaj said, "So that's the real sentiment that a Vaishnava will feel, that I'm a fallen soul." But he says, "I cannot express that because I'm Guru Maharaj's representative." So then Govinda had his own variation. He says, "I was a bad boy, but Guru Maharaj made me a good boy." And I know when Srila Govinda Maharaj was in Soquel, he called Pushta Krishna's son Chaitanya Das, who's now a grown man. He's in graduating out of med school. And, you know, he would call him and he would say, "Chaitanya, are you a good boy?" And he would nod his head, "Yes, I'm a good boy." That was Govinda Maharaj's humor. But he would express like that. But so, in other words, Mahaprabhu's sentiment is always to show that of the Acharya. And Mahaprabhu's chanting and dancing, spreading the holy name, are the activities of the Acharya. And in no way are Mahaprabhu's activities to be equated one for one with Krishna. Krishna's dancing in the dead of night, you know, with the cowherd girls who are actually have their own husbands, but Krishna's dancing with them. And, you know, and that's even glorified activities where it says that the gopis have given up everything. They've crossed over the bounds of traditional morality and left their family members behind in order to run to Krishna. So that's very beautiful. But Mahaprabhu's activities are showing that, teaching us how to be a devotee. And therefore, in the Prapana Jivanamrita, it is mentioned there how in Mahaprabhu's Sikshastika, he's taking the sentiment of a devotee, because he says, "Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavambudo." So he's saying that, "Oh Krishna, somehow or other I've fallen into this ocean of material existence or material life, and I find no way out. But if you will lift me as an atom or a speck of dust of your lotus feet, then I can have some refuge. I can have some shelter." So that's not the expression of the Supreme Lord. That's the expression of the devotee of the Lord. "Oh, my dear Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, somehow or other I've fallen into this ocean of material existence." That's the way we may express ourselves, as you know, aspiring to have the shelter of the Lord. And then so many of the Sikshastic prayers are like that, where he says, "Nam namakari bahuda nija sarvar shaktis tatrarpita nimita smaranena kala itadrishi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrishami hajni nanuraga." He says, "Oh my dear Lord, you have given all, you know, mercy, all, everything is there within the chanting of your holy names, and there are not even any hard and fast rules for chanting those names. But I am so unfortunate that due to my offenses, I have no attraction for your holy names." And I believe it's in Rupa Goswami's commentary, but I've heard the explanation that, you know, when a person has jaundice, they're due to the prevalence of bile in their system, even in their blood, I guess, that they cannot taste food properly. And even that which is sweet, you know, tastes very bitter. Like if you had jaundice, you drink a glass of orange juice, it's very bitter. Have any of you ever had that disease? Yeah. So you have experience. I've had that when I was in India. I've had experience of what that alteration of your taste is like under jaundice with the bile in there. I remember I had that, and I was traveling with one group, with a sannyasi, actually, Tamal Krishna Goswami. We were in Jaipur, and I was saying, you know, I think I have an ulcer, because everything's coming out red. We had to walk upstairs, and it hurt me to walk upstairs, and people were saying, "Nothing's the matter with you." But then they called the doctor. The doctor just took him 2 seconds. He looked at my eyes, which were all yellow, and he says, oh, you have jaundice. But when you have jaundice, you cannot taste things that are sweet to be sweet. They taste bitter. So in our state of existence, the sweetness of the holy name, we can't taste it because our whole, you know, our whole, we can say our whole spiritual metabolism has been altered, you know, due to contact with this material nature. And therefore Mahaprabhu says, you've given everything in the chanting of your holy names, but I am so unfortunate, I have no attraction for those holy names. So obviously when we talk like, when Mahaprabhu is talking like that, he's talking as a person of this world who's aspiring to attain level of devotion. You know, he's just of chanting, the importance of chanting the holy name. So that's the second prayer. And then the third prayer, he gives some guidance as to how one can chant the holy name. Trinadapi sunichena tador iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. With this tolerance like that of a tree, humility like the straw in the street, and able to offer respect to others without asking for respect in return. And Mahaprabhu says, if you have those spiritual qualities, kirtaniya sadahari, then you can always chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. If you develop those qualities. And Govinda Maharshi, always, everywhere he went, he would talk about the development of those spiritual qualities. Like, I was with him in Bogota, Colombia. And as in many places, they asked him if he had some message for the people. I remember when, just as an example, when Govinda Maharshi was I believe he was in Moscow, and we all had some ice cream in Jagannath Express. Govinda Maharshi, I think he ordered like 3 scoops of ice cream, you know, which was unusual, but he relished that. And then afterwards, there was some TV crew there that wanted to ask Govinda Maharshi some questions. So before they could ask some questions, Avadhoot Maharshi went to Govinda Maharshi, and he went like this, like a director. He says, you're a guru who's come from India, and you've come here to bless the Russian people. That was the guidance given by Avadhoot Maharshi, how to speak to the television crew, just like that. You're a guru from India, and you've come here to bless the Russian people. So Govinda Maharshi elaborated on that, and it was very nice. But in Bogota, they asked to Govinda Maharshi, you know, do you have some message for the Colombian people? Because Bogota is the capital of Colombia, I believe. And Govinda Maharshi said, well, in your country, you have everything. You have ample sunshine, ample fruits and vegetables. Everything is here. So if you just add to your, you know, to your existence, you just add these 3 qualities, Trinadapi Sunichena, Toror Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, humility, offering respect, and tolerance, then everything will be perfectly adjusted. And he didn't even, you know, Govinda Maharshi gave that as his blessing to the Colombian people. Just try to add this to your life. And he didn't even, you know, talk so much about chant the holy names or anything. He, as so many places, he talked about Trinadapi Sunichena. So these are spiritual, you know, spiritual qualities that, are to be developed. And I remember Srila Sridhar Maharshi, he also gave certain guidelines, which are very beautiful. These guidelines were presented by Goswami Maharaj in the books that he gave of, based on Guru Maharaj's teachings. And even Guru Maharaj said that Goswami Maharaj came to him later in his age, you know, in his when he was already of a more than mature age, Srila Srinivas Maharaj, and he said, Goswami Maharaj, he said it humorously, Goswami Maharaj, come and rob me of my realizations. And he phrased it differently at one time. He said, these are trade secrets of Vaishnavism. Trade secrets. And there were different trade secrets he gave, but one I always remember that I like was when Srila Sridhar Maharaj spoke about fault finding. He said, when I go before the Lord, I'm presenting myself as my Lord, I am a very fallen soul, so I am very much in need of your mercy. Like when Rupa and Sanatan approach Mahaprabhu, they say to Mahaprabhu, you know, that my Lord, your mercy is for the fallen and you will find no better candidates than ourselves. We are the most fallen and we are therefore most deserving of your mercy. For you to save Jagai and Madai, you did not have to exert yourself very much. They were already residents of Nabadeep, and they were from Brahmin families, and they only had one fault. They were addicted to sinful activities. But for you to cleanse away any amount of sinful activities is not difficult. But we ourselves are in the employment of, let's say, the Malechas, loosely translated as the meat eaters. But in this case also, the Malechas were the Muslims. They were in the employment of the Muslim king. And they said, and we have adopted the habits and activities of these people, and we have also even adopted their names. So they were saying, we are the most fallen, and therefore we are appealing especially to your mercy. And then Mahaprabhu says, to Rupa and Sanatan, he says, please stop. Your humility is what's the translation? Breaking my heart, please. And he says, I have already given you some guidance. This guidance is very unique, the guidance that Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa Sanatan. He said that when a woman has a husband, but she also has a paramour, which means a lover, then she will engage in her household activities more perfectly than otherwise, than if she didn't have a lover. That way her husband will never be suspicious. So he says, in this way, we are engaging with our activities, which means, you know, it's a refinement, you can say, of expressing that one has one's activities in this material world, one's responsibilities. We have our work, we have our family, we have so many responsibilities, but our real consciousness will be on what is our real love, which is the Lord, his devotees, the service to the Lord, chanting of the holy name. But we will not be lax in our responsibilities in this world, you know. But we are doing everything with the consciousness, not of someone aspiring for, you know, mundane success in this world, but with the quality of everything is permeated by our consciousness of wanting to engage whatever we're doing, somehow or other, into the service of the Lord. Even if we're, you know, apparently, you know, working competitively in the material atmosphere, that may also be in order to have further recognition for the devotees and also be able to earn livelihood, you know, for the, our service, and to be able to help the devotees. Like Mahaprabhu said to Mukunda, he said, you are to be able, Mukunda was the royal physician. And Mahaprabhu said, you will engage yourself in earning, in earning in order to be able to, you know, to be able to serve the Vaishnavas. But he told who is this son of Mukunda, is Raghunandana? Yeah, he said, but, you know, oh, he says to Narahari, who's not his son, but he says, you will be in the service of the devotees. So, you know, there's different advices giving for, is that right, the plural of advices given to different devotees. Like when Mahaprabhu was talking to, I believe it's Satyaraj, he says, you know, the residents of, is it Khanda, then he says, they said to him, well, what should be our activities? We're Grihastas, what should be our activities? Then Mahaprabhu says, you know, chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. And then they say, well, you know, chant the holy names and do Vaishnav Seva. And they say, first they say, well, who is a Vaishnav? And Mahaprabhu says, anybody who's chanted the holy name one time, they should be considered as a Vaishnav. And they should be respected in one's mind. And, you know, then the next year they asked, and he says, chant the holy names and serves the Vaishnav. And then Mahaprabhu gives the, what we consider an intermediate or Madhyam Adhikari definition. But even that is very high. He says, one who's always, you know, serving the Lord, and within his heart, always serving the Lord in Vrindavan, you know, he says, that is a Vaishnav. So that's the second class of Vaishnav, although it seems very high to us. And then when they ask him again the third year, who's a Vaishnav? Chant the holy names and serve the Vaishnav. They say, who's a Vaishnav? Mahaprabhu says, someone whose very presence makes you want to chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavs. That is the Uttama Adhikari. That is the exalted Vaishnav. So like this, you know, I was saying to Rupa Sanatan, they presented themselves as the most fallen. And, you know, as Guru Maharaj explained in his trade secrets about the Vaishnavas, he says that a trade secret is that when I approach the Lord, I will say, I am a fallen soul, therefore I am most deserving of your mercy. And therefore, Srila Guru Maharaj explained it, therefore we're approaching the department of mercy, and rather than the department of, what is it, justice, right? Justice will be, you know, like the old laws, which say in Western tradition will say the idea of, you know, how would you put it, is an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, the laws of, you know, how's that expressed? That's an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's the idea of justice. And then there's the idea of mercy. So Guru Maharaj says that we are approaching the department of mercy. We don't want to be judged by the Lord. Sometimes in the West, we'll think of the Lord as a judge or someone who's looking down on our activities and judging us. And if we get too many demerits, then some lever will be, you know, pulled, and then we'll fall down to the nether region, you can say. So that's, you know, we're not interested in the Department of Justice. We're in the Department of Mercy. But then Guru Maharaj gives his trade secret. He says, if you want mercy for yourself, you cannot be so critical and judgmental of others. That is a trade secret. Because he says, then that's hypocrisy. For yourself, you want mercy. But for everyone else, you're going to judge them very severely and not, you know, be applied the letter of the law. No, this person broke the regulative principles. Therefore, he should be ousted from the mat. You know, once Guru Maharaj said about, he told Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, told that one devotee had done something wrong. And Saraswati Thakur said, then, you know, I cannot accept him. You know, I cannot accept this. But he told the Guru Maharaj, but you should be merciful to him. And then Guru Maharaj responded, well, if you're our Gurudev and you're our Guru Maharaj and you say that you can't accept this person, how can we treat him any differently? And then Srila Saraswati Thakur said, well, just like when Krishna was traveling, Mahaprabhu was traveling with Krishna Das in South India, his servant, Krishna Das, was enticed by the Bhattatari women. They're like tantric. Bhattataris are like tantric. And they enticed Krishna Das, Mahaprabhu's servant, with women. And then Mahaprabhu, you know, said to them, well, you people, you're like sannyasis and I'm like a sannyasi, then why are you trying to rob my servant, Krishna Das? And then they attacked Mahaprabhu with knives and hatchets. But as they were attacking Mahaprabhu with knives and hatchets, all the knives and hatchets fell from their hands and began cutting off their own arms and legs. So then Mahaprabhu literally saved Krishna Das by dragging him away by the hair, which is, then Mahaprabhu, he continued his travels in South India till he got back to Jagannath Puri, and then he said, now consider the character of this man, that this happened, and now I have brought him back here. I no longer wish to have him in my service. Now he can go away and do as he likes. And Krishna Das began to cry. But Nityananda Prabhu continued to engage Krishna Das. He said to Mahaprabhu, well, you've returned from South India, and, you know, the residents of Navadvip have to be informed. So we need somebody to go to Navadvip and inform everyone that you've returned. And he says, so we'll need to send one man. And then Mahaprabhu says, do as you like. But Mahaprabhu knows that they're referring to Krishna Das, that Nityananda wants to continue to engage him in the service of the Lord. So then Guru Maharaj said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur expressed that even though I cannot accept the service of this person because of what he has done wrong, still, he told Guru Maharaj, you must engage him just as Mahaprabhu had rejected Krishna Das, but Nityananda Prabhu continued to engage him in his service. So he said, you be like Nityananda Prabhu and you will continue to engage this man in service. So, you know, he maybe had been kicked out of the temple, but later he was allowed back in. And this was a consideration of the mercy given by the devotees. So Guru Maharaj, in his explanation of trade secrets, that's one of them, he says, and there are others, he says, realizations of a Vaishnavacharya for the, you know, trade secrets, you can say, the mature realizations of someone like Sridhar Maharaj, that, you know, that if you want mercy for yourself, you cannot apply the strict codes of justice and be judgmental of others. Then it's hypocrisy. How can you want tolerance for your own wrongdoings, but you're overly critical of everyone else's fault? Therefore, Guru Maharaj expresses, this is a warning about fault finding, you know, the dangers of fault finding, that it is actually hypocritical to what you want for yourself. So, I mean, these are very mature realizations. And anyway, Srila Sridhar Maharaj expressed that Goswami Maharaj had come to express Guru Maharaj's mature realizations. So these are all, you know, I feel that, you know, they're related. Guru Maharaj's expression in Sharanagati of the Lord's teachings as not the Supreme Lord, but as his words being the words of the devotee, and Guru Maharaj's expressions of realizations along that line of guidance for the devotees, himself giving guidance for the devotees. Anyway, these are things that, you know, come to my mind as I'm sitting here, I'm asked to speak, and I mean, perhaps in many places I've talked about these subjects, but there's something that has become, you know, very much, very much written, you can say, into my consciousness, that something I heard and learned after coming to the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt and having come in contact with the writings of Srila Guru Maharaj, as I'll say, the words of Srila Guru Maharaj as expressed in his teaching. Goswami Maharaj was saying yesterday that these teachings sound very clear because they're actually given in English, they're expressed in English. Srila Govinda Maharaj said, Guru Maharaj's Sanskrit was very easy to understand, but his Bengali was very complicated. And he said Guru Maharaj was hiding behind the words of the Bengali language. And at one point, Srila Govinda Maharaj said about one thing that Guru Maharaj had written, which was very high. And, you know, Srila Govinda Maharaj said, well, you know, if your explanation perhaps given in Bengali, if your purpose is to hide something, the meaning of this, then that has been accomplished. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, yes, I am trying to hide something, the meaning. And you can say, why would that be? Because as Krishnadas Kaviraj sometimes says, these things are so high that they should not be expressed publicly. But I do so with the confidence that the devotees will understand, but the general public or the general persons will not understand, and so much the better, referring to certain high realizations that Mahaprabhu is expressing. That my stating these things should not be even stated. These should not be expressed. He says, like, I should not even be expressing these. But if I did not express these things, I would not be acknowledging the mercy given to me by Shishi Radha Madan Mohan, given to me by Madan Mohan, because he said that deity was dictating to him. You know, and he says, And he also, you know, talks about the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, who Nityananda Prabhu told him to go to Krishna, to Vrindavan, there all everything would be revealed. And Krishnadas Kaviraj says, these things shouldn't even be spoken about. But if I did not speak about these things, I would not be acknowledging my gratitude towards the Lord and to his and his Archavigraha form. You know, he says, I would be ungrateful. But at the same time, these should not be expressed publicly. But I do so with the knowledge that the devotees will be able to understand. But common materialists, they may not be able to understand, and so much the better. So it's a, you know, almost you consider a humorous statement. Humorous in the extent that, okay, I'm saying these things, I shouldn't be saying these things, but other people won't understand, so, you know, I don't have a problem with that. Anyway, I've been speaking in this way. I don't know, do you ever have questions from the viewers or questions from the devotees? I was told somebody dialed in a question last night or something.
From a viewer from Russia, Gauranga Haridasi Didi.
Haridasi?
Yeah, Gauranga Haridasi.
Oh.
Gauranga Haridasi Didi. She has very short question, but deep question. What does bhakti mean?
I could answer humorously, as I heard, you know, I heard, I think, believe Govinda Maharaj answering. He would say things sometimes like, how long have you been a devotee? And if you're now just now asking this question, you know, more or less he would say it jokingly, like, isn't it a little late to be asking this question as to what is bhakti? But still, it's a good question, what is bhakti? And, you know, we will talk about, you know, there are different levels of bhakti, karma mishra bhakti and jnana mishra bhakti. And what is that statement by Rupa Goswami? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukuyena krishnanushilanam. What is it? Bhaktir Uttama. This is a real level of bhakti, which is free from karma and jnana, free from, as Guru Maharaj expressed it once, he said, free from, bhakti is independent of power and independent of knowledge. So you could say, well, you know, devotees are, that means they're going to be weak. Does that mean devotees will be foolish or unintelligent, no knowledge? But there's a verse that says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukim. That, you know, for one who's engaged, who's Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga, one who's engaged in the service of the Lord, you know, you can say, that for that person, they'll develop knowledge just in the course of their own realizations. They'll get knowledge and they'll get also detachment, which you could equate, you know, detachment. Normally, we wouldn't think of someone who's overly engaged in austerities. That could be considered dryness. But we hear about vairagya is a different kind of vairagya, yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means I'm detached of the idea of material wealth or material objects to be for my own enjoyment, but rather they should be utilized in the Krishna, in the service of the Lord. Money and what would be considered fineness of fine things of this world, they're to be offered to the Lord. So, you know, Rupa Goswami is saying, that bhakti should be free from karma and gyan, free from the sense of exploitation, of karma, of trying to exploit this world, and they should be free from, or as Guru Maharaj said it, as equating karma with power, the desire for material power. Anyabhi lashita shunyam gana karma yanavri. And gyan you could also say as being knowledge or detachment, And so Guru Maharaj explained to me, he said, so knowledge is independent of the desire. Bhakti is free from the desire for knowledge or power. And then I said to him, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, you are known by everybody to be very knowledgeable. You are considered to be very, very knowledgeable, very intelligent. And then Srila Sridhar Maharaj said to me, bhakti, he said, knowledge is a minister and bhakti is the king. And he said, just as the minister will bow down and offer his services to the king, so knowledge will bow down and be in the service of bhakti, which is above all. Then we speak of kevala bhakti or shuddha bhakti. And that means that this is pure bhakti. And then what is the other definition given by Rupa Goswami? He says, anukuyena krishnanu shilanam. He says, and everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. Or we can say for the satisfaction of Krishna and his devotees. Everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna and his devotees. So that bhakti, which is not tainted by the desire for, name, fame, as Mahaprabhu says, he says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitamba, jagadishaya kamai, mama janmani, janmanishari, bhavatad bhaktira haituki. I don't want fame. I don't want riches. I don't want enjoyment. I only want, nor do I even want liberation, or I don't want, what are the normal purusharthas? I don't want dharmartha kaman moksha. I don't want any of these things. Sarvadharmam purijja. I reject any of these external things. And I only, then na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, jagadishaya kamai, mama janmani, janmanishari, bhavatad bhaktira haitukitvai. I only want your service in my life, birth after birth. So that is expression. And we can say that's the expression for pure devotion. I only want my devotion to you, my Lord, to increase. So this will be expressions of what is bhakti. This will be pure bhakti, which is anukuyena krishnu nushilanam. It's only done for Krishna's service, for Gurudev's service, for the service of the Vaishnava, for the to be pleasing to the Lord and his devotees. So that will be bhakti for us. And, there may be many adulterated forms of bhakti. But Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, when we're chanting the holy name, we're chanting the name, we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Says we're, and Guru Maharaj explained that the name Rama does not refer to Ramachandra. It refers to, Radha Raman. To Krishna in the service of, chanting of the holy name is the service of Radha and Krishna. It's not talking about the chanting of Ramachandra's names, but it's literally the chanting of the names of Radha and Krishna. So in this way, I mean, we're interested in that kind of bhakti and pure chanting of the holy name, Shuddha Nam, and not just, we can say the Shuddha Nam that given by Mahaprabhu, but in this way, not heard it explained once. I'm not interested in that Krishna which is sold in the marketplace. You know, there may be many forms of Krishna sold in the marketplace. You can go there and buy a print. You know, you can say Nam, what is it? Nam, Rupa, Leela, Guna. Nam, Guna, Rupa, Leela. You know, we can say Krishna is not different from his name, his form, his qualities, his activities. You know, but I'm not interested in that kind of presentation of the eternal form of the Lord. I can buy some picture in the marketplace, Brijbasi painting, you know. You can buy it in the marketplace. But the expression I heard is, I'm not interested in that Krishna which is sold in the marketplace. I'm interested in that Krishna which is given by my guru, by Gurudev. I'm interested in the pure conception of Krishna, not the popular or the, you know, what's the modern culture version of what Krishna, like one person, his name was Krishnamurti or something like that. He says, the devotees are chanting always, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know. And he says, and they work themselves into a state of what exhilaration, you know, by the continual hypnotic chanting over and over and over and over again of this mantra. And he said, you could get the same effect by chanting over and over again Coca-Cola. I heard somebody express to me, someone wrote now, do I like Coca-Cola? Maybe sometimes I drink it, but generally I'm avoiding sugar. And Coca-Cola is pure sugar. And it's also, you know, it's also very good at dissolving pennies and cleaning coins because it's so acidic. So, you know, but Krishnamurti is saying, you can get the same effect of chanting Coca-Cola. And yeah, you really believe that? How come people are not chanting over and over again Coca-Cola? Or the competitive camp is not chanting Pepsi-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, or BG-Cola, or whatever. BG-Cola is a banana. You know, they're not chanting different names of colas. They're chanting Krishna Nam. And they're attaining love of Godhead by chanting that name. You know, so this is foolish to say that the devotees more or less are hyperventilating by chanting the holy name. They're just working themselves into a lather by chanting the holy name, and that's the so-called spiritual effect they get from that. And they say, how foolish is that? How foolish you are. You're supposed to be a learned man, and this is your expression? Rather, we will accept the expressions of Gurudev and the Acharyas, not the expression of some mundane materialist. Well, mundane and materialists are repetitive, I guess, so a worldly man. Anyway, was there any other question? Nope. Okay. So, should we sing Hari Harai at this point? Huh?
Yes.
Okay, you can play the mridanga and kartos. Okay, we have a mridanga player here. Okay, let's see if I can get through Hari Harai better than last night, where it became frog-like. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Jaravaya Nama.
Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Jaravaya Nama.
Charavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namah. Gopal Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinatha Maranamoham. Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Chandra. Garadara Shiva Sadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raguna. Shri Chiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raguna. Jai Gosai Kori Charana Bandhan. Jai Te Vignana Shabista Puran. Jai Gosai Jarmui Taradas. Tasavar para renu mora panchagras. Tader charana sevi bhakta sanivas. Janame janame mor e abilas. Jai Gosai Jabe Braje Koilabas. Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Kori La Prakash. Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjai Aman. Shri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyas. Harinam Sankirtana Kohe Naratamana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gora Haribo, 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 Haribo. Nitai Gora Haribo, 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 Haribo.